Well, good morning again. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 12. We're going to look at the first 11 verses there. I want to speak to you on the subject of the amazing power of prayer. Prayer is something that God has given us the privilege of using to reach His throne. And He says that He will hear and answer our prayer. He says, if we knock, it shall be opened to us. If we seek, we shall find. If we ask, it shall be given. Those are promises. And it is an amazing difference that prayer makes in our lives. And we want to look this morning at just how powerful prayer is. But at the same time, we want to look at how the devil tries to keep us doubting prayer. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now for Mandy. Lord, we come before your throne on behalf of Mandy. Lord, you know the condition with her diabetes. Lord, I pray that you would heal her. Bring that sugar back under control. And Lord, I pray that you would just completely heal whatever the problem is. Lord, we just ask that you would have mercy. We know that all healing is from you and there's nothing too difficult for you. We just ask that you would touch her right now with your healing hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 12. We're going to start reading with verse 1. Stand with me if you will. In honor of God's word. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have not lost any of your power. There's nothing that you can't do, nothing too hard for you. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart, remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. And Lord, open our understanding that we may grasp your truth and that we would learn to pray as we ought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we read about things that God does like this, it always amazes me at what God accomplished. And I don't know why it amazes me, because God is God. He spoke the world into existence. All it took for him to create was to say, let there be, and there was. That's the God that we're talking about. And so he can very easily give us the promise that there's nothing too hard for him, and whatever we ask, he's able to do. Now, the devil would cripple us as Christians if he could, so that we don't believe in prayer. And I want us to look this morning at what God has shown us in this passage so that we might find great faith in our God and lift up prayers to him. Now, I want you to see that the circumstances here were permitted by God. Now, look at verses 1 through 4 of our text. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, the people saw what happened to James. He was killed. God didn't rescue him. Does that mean that God loved Peter more than he loved James? No. Does that mean that they didn't pray quick enough? No. What we're dealing with here is the will of God. And we have to understand that when God's will is set forth in motion, we then are to come alongside God and pray for the completion of God's will. Now, there's many things that keep us from really believing in prayer. One is experiences. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 talks about not putting our confidence in experiences, what we see. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If we lean to our own understanding, there's enough experiences that we can doubt that God's going to answer prayer. All these people that saw Peter get locked up, saw James get killed. And so if they lean to their own understanding, well, it's hopeless. God let James get killed, he'll let Peter get killed. We've all seen things. We've prayed for people that didn't get healed. We have seen people that were good people have bad things happen to them. And so those experiences sometimes will cause us to doubt what God's going to do. But the Bible says that we're not to lean to our own understanding. We're to trust God. Another thing that hinders is expectations. What we expect. Listen to what James says in James 4, the first three verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now, it is not only praying for the wrong things, it is praying for the wrong will. You see, so many times we fail to realize God is not here to enhance our life. We are here to pray for his will. And so when we fail to realize that, our expectations are going to be in the wrong direction. That's what he means when he says we pray for our own desires, that we may consume power, the power of prayer, on our own desires to get our way. A lot of people see Jesus as like a Santa Claus. You make your list up, Lord, here's what I want, send it to me, and I'll be happy. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to please God and not ourselves. We're here to discern his will and pray in that direction. Now we have examples that God has given us in his word to show us that he does not use his power to accomplish our purpose. Listen to this. Luke chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now, those examples that he gives shows us there is a purpose in everything God does. It is not because we want him to act on our behalf. We say, okay, God is going to heal everybody that I ask him to heal. God is going to give me whatever I want. That's all wrong. You say, well, why would God heal Naaman and not heal somebody else? If we follow the story of Naaman on in history, we find out that a great revival broke out there when Naaman went back to his country. And God used that healing to bring many to salvation. That was God's will of evangelism. He was spreading the gospel into that country through Naaman, who was a leper. And so it's very important that we understand that what prayer is for is accomplishing the will of God. Now, let me say that the will of God is also to take care of us. And he does a very good job of that. He has never left any of us and never forsaken us. Now, we may not have a Cadillac. We may not have a Learjet like some of the preachers say we're supposed to have. But the truth of the matter is, we are blessed. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. We're not here to compare ourselves one to another. But if we just sit back and think about it, God has blessed us way beyond what we deserve. We're too blessed to be stressed. And God wants us to know that and to trust in him. And as we trust in him and we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto us. See, this is not giving up the goodness that God has for us when we change our prayer life to seek the kingdom of God. It is simply getting in line with the will of God. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I want you to see the next thing in this picture that we have here in Acts is Christians praying. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, the church began to pray. They had all these examples too. They knew that James had died. They knew that it might not be God's will to deliver Peter. It might be that Peter's going to die too, but they begin to pray. Now, we need to take an example from that. You say, well, how do I know what to pray for? You pray. And God will do what he wants. But you know something? When we fail to pray, remember what James says, you have not because you ask not. There is a limit that God sets on his power for some reason that connects itself to our requesting in prayer. That means we are absolutely necessary in God's program. When we pray, it unleashes the power of God to do the will of God. Now, their praying, first of all, was diligent. So they prayed without ceasing. Listen to what James 5:16 says. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Diligent prayer. Paul said, God forbid that I should sin against God in failing to pray for you. God puts a responsibility on us to pray for one another. Do you know that? When you have your Bible study and prayer time as a family at home, and God brings people across your mind, pray for those people. Sometimes we need to just have a list of our membership and pray, because the devil has declared war on Christians. And we need to pray for one another and hold one another up in prayer. Why? Because God says to do that. And as we pray for one another, God's power is unleashed in our life and victory is right there to be had. But God wants us to pray for each other, not only for ourselves, but for others. And if we're all praying for everybody else, just think how much prayer is going up for each one of us as we remember each other and pray for one another diligently. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was a dedicated prayer. In Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Lord says, pray without ceasing. No, that doesn't mean you pray 24/7. The word ceasing means to stop. That means don't ever give up on prayer. You just keep on praying and keep on believing. You say, well, what if God never answers? God always answers. Just sometimes he says no. Sometimes his will is different than what we're praying. But you know what? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, we don't always know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, for he knows what is the mind of God. Now you know what that's saying? When we pray, we try to discern the will of God, but if we discern the will of God wrong and we pray, the Holy Spirit turns that prayer into the right kind of a prayer, and we pray in the will of God. But if we don't pray at all, then the Holy Spirit does not interpret the prayer. So prayer is important. Even if you don't know what the will of God is, you can know that it is the will of God for you to pray. And you can pray what you believe the will of God is, and then if you're praying in the will of God, you'll recognize the answer when it comes back. But if you're not, at least the Holy Spirit sends up the right prayer. You may not recognize the answer when it comes back, but there will be an answer according to the will of God. I thank God for that. We don't always know how to pray as we ought, but we know that we always ought to pray. Now, I want you to notice this, and this is important. These people not only were dedicated in their prayer, they were doubtful in their prayer. This helps us, doesn't it? Listen to Acts 12, beginning with verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now I want you to see this. Here's these people. They say, Peter is in jail. Let's pray him out of jail. And so they begin to pray, and they're praying fervently. And they're requesting that God bring Peter back to them. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. Rhoda goes to the door. And he says, open the door. It's me. It's Peter. She said, it's Peter. So she goes in and she tells the prayer meeting, our prayers have been answered. Peter's at the door. And they said, you're crazy. He can't be at the door because we're just now trying to pray him out of prison. And then it says, when they finally saw it was Peter, they were astonished. How did you get out of jail? You see, the reason that's encouraging to me is because even though they doubted, their prayers worked. You see that? You know why their prayers worked? Because it was the will of God. Prayer that is answered the way it's prayed begins in heaven. God puts in our hearts what to pray. And somehow that unleashes the power of God to do the will of God. And as we pray, God's will be done. So many times we think, well, if my faith was just stronger, I could get what I asked for from God. No, you won't. It's not strong faith, it's a strong God. You see, Jesus said, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, in the will of God, you can move a mountain. See, because God has the power. Not only can God move the mountain, he can make it all disappear if he wants to. He can create it new again. He can make it all disappear right off from under us, put another under us, and us never even miss it. God can do whatever he wants to do. It's the power of God that is the power of prayer. We simply pray, and God does the rest. Now I want you to see that in our story, he also points out the complete provision. God is able to finish whatever he wants to do. Now look what he says here, verse 6 through 11 of our text. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, the Lord puts that in here so we understand this was not just some, they forgot to lock the door. They had him chained to two men and guards outside the gate. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. No hacksaw involved here. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Now, notice this. Getting Peter out of prison was not a hard task for God. When the nation of Israel was surrounded by 181,000 of the Syrians at one time, and when the king began to pray to God, God sent his angel and in one night killed 181,000 people. It's not a hard thing for God. He can do anything he wants to do. Peter is there in the prison, probably thinking, "Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get killed." But he's asleep. Says something about his faith, doesn't it? And the angel came in, bright light. He said, "Oh, he's going to wake everybody up." No, he's not. It's like when Saul was in the cave where David was. And he slips in and he cuts the skirt of his garment off. I heard somebody say one time, it's an amazing thing that he didn't even wake old Saul or any of his men up. But you see, if you read in there, it says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon him." He could have took a band with him if he wanted to. He ain't waking up. Same thing. God just sent his angel in there, and he, big light shines, and he kicks old Peter. "Get up, Peter." Peter, I can just see him rubbing his eyes. What? chains fall off. Clink, clink. That's not a problem. Now put your stuff on. So he gets up, puts his garment on. And then they start walking out. Get to the big gate. Now, how are we going to open this big gate? Well, it just opens on its own. You see, when God's ready to do something, nobody stands in his way. If God's for us, who can be against us? There is nothing that can stop God. But I want you to know that prayer works to accomplish God's purpose. Don't miss that, folks. It's God's purpose, not ours. It's not my program. It's God's. Listen to what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, if you miss the last part of that, you're going to get the wrong idea about this. I had somebody ask me one time, how can God say that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord when he'll let little babies get AIDS? Or he'll let some tragic accident happen to a teenager. How can that be good? Well, that's not what that verse says. It says all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, those who are called according to what? His purpose. You see, God has a plan. And that plan includes a lot of stuff that happens. It was not a good thing that James was killed. It was permitted by God. It fulfilled a purpose. You say, well, what was the purpose? I don't know. But it fulfilled a purpose. To get Peter out of jail fulfilled a purpose of God. And Peter went on to be used of God to write 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And in that process, he started churches. God used him tremendously. You say, well, couldn't he have done that with James? He could have done it with anybody. But his purpose was fulfilled. And so it is God's purpose that we must look to. You see, that's our job here. Folks, understand something. This is not our home. We're just here for a little while. We're soldiers, we're not settlers. My real address is in glory. I'm just here for a little while. You're just here for a little while. And while we're here, we're on a mission. We have something God wants us to do. And it is his purpose that we need to be about. Jesus gave us that example when he went back, when his mother and father went back when he was 13 years old. There in the temple, he was teaching the teachers. And so Mary said to him, don't you care that we were running around scared to death that somebody had abducted you? That wasn't what she said. I just threw that in. She said, we have been searching for you, sorrowing. You know what he said? Don't you understand that I have to be about my father's business? You see, that's our business. It is to fulfill God's purpose. When we are about our business, we're robbing God of his use of our life. Our life is not our own. We're bought with a price. The Bible says that Jesus is our life. And if we are living the true Christian life, Jesus is living his life through us. And he is always about the Father's business. He has called us to walk in his purpose. What did he tell us? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's all secondary. If it becomes primary, then what we're here for is derailed. Our job in this life is to keep the seeking of the kingdom of God and his righteousness the primary thing in our life. And we use prayer to accomplish that. And God will always answer that prayer that is in his will, exactly as we pray it. And it's God's plan. Now listen to Matthew 6, 9 and 10. You remember this is where the Lord's Prayer is put in the Bible. Look at how he begins. When he tells us, this is the way you're supposed to pray. It's not that we're supposed to repeat this prayer all the time. He's saying, this is the way prayer is to be used. Now listen to what he says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the way prayer is to be used. After this manner. You see, it's his will, his purpose that we're here to accomplish. And so prayer is to be used for that. It is not a shopping list. It is not so that we can get what we want out of life. Everything we get out of life comes down from God, the Bible says. But that's not what we're here for. The Lord said, don't lay up treasures on earth. Why? You're going to leave all that behind. You see, it's just a little while. We're going to be out of here. If I ask you where you're going to be in 10 years, hopefully you're going to be somewhere here on this planet doing something. If I ask you where you're going to be in 1,000 years, your address won't be on this planet anymore. But you'll be somewhere. 100 million years, you'll be somewhere. 200 trillion billion years, you'll still be somewhere. You see, when you start thinking about time like that, this little old 100 years down here is nothing. We're just here on mission. And then we're going to go home. And while we're here to do the will of God. And prayer is used to accomplish the will of God. And we need to be praying to that end. And then we have also God's protection. When we are praying for his purpose and his plan, his protection goes along with it. Listen to what Luke 12, 4 and 5 says. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now I want you to see what he's saying here. If you can get a hold of this, fear will be in your history. He says, don't fear man, because the worst he can do is kill you. You say, well, that's bad enough. The best event that's ever going to happen in my life is when I die. That's the very best thing that's going to ever happen to me. There's been a lot of good things happen to me in my life. But nothing will ever compete with that event when I leave this world. Because I have a home in heaven, as the old song says, that will outshine the sun. And when we live our lives as citizens of heaven, and we don't have to be afraid of what man's going to do to us, because the worst he can do is kill us. And that just punches our ticket home. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Because God has everything under control. And the basis of our protection is not that we're never going to miss a payment. The basis of our protection is not that we're not ever going to be killed. Or that we're not ever going to get a bad disease. That's not part of the bargain. We may. But the bargain is, when you die, you begin to live. And we can live our lives completely content and satisfied living in this world. Paul got a real good grip of this, and he said, you know, I'm caught in betwixt two things. He said, I don't know whether to depart or stay here. He said, for me to stay here is more needful for you, but to depart is far better. He got hold of that truth that Jesus wants us to live in. There's nothing to fear in this life. The worst that can happen to you is that you die, and that's when you go to heaven. And so if we live every day afraid of dying, we never really live. But if we live waiting for God's will in our life, we are indestructible until it's God's will. Nobody can take our life away from us except God. Did you know that? Because he's the one that gave it. You say, wait a minute, if somebody puts a gun up to your head and pulls the trigger, they're going to take your life. Not unless it's God's will. Been many, many times when men have been shot several times and it didn't hurt them at all. You say, how's that possible? There's a God in heaven who does whatever he wants to do. Folks, here's what I want to leave us with this morning. Prayer is tremendously effective. When somebody's sick, you pray for them. You say, well, will they always get well? Nope. But if you fail to pray, even if it's God's will, somebody's got to pray. I don't know why God set it up that way, but that's the way he set it up. You have not because you ask not. And as we see God's will unfold and we begin to realize what God wants to do in a situation, we can begin to pray and know that God will bring it about. We need to pray for one another. We know that that is the will of God. As a matter of fact, God says it is a sin against God if we fail to pray for one another. And so we need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for sick people. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for the lost around about us, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon them, that they will see their lost condition and receive Christ as their Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're going to run out of time one of these days. Because one thing we know for sure, life in this world is short. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. If you leave this world without having ever received Christ as your Savior, you're going to go straight to hell and you will be there billions and billions and billions of years. And after you've been there billions and billions and billions of years, you've no less time before you get out. Now, folks, that's hard to even wrap your mind around. You say, well, why would people still refuse and go to hell? Because we have an adversary. The devil's cunning. The devil will use everything he has, if you're lost this morning, to keep you from coming to Jesus. But the Lord, if you're here this morning without Jesus, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead for your justification. And in hearing that gospel right there, there is enough faith created in your heart to be saved if you want to. But you have to choose it. I can't choose it for you or the whole world will be saved. You have to choose it yourself. Maybe you're here and you have been saved, but you've strayed from God. God's calling you home. And I know that it is the will of God for you to return to God and to serve him for the rest of your life. Whatever the Lord is speaking to your heart about, let him have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before your throne, we thank you that your power is unleashed when we pray. And Lord, I pray this morning that your will would be worked and that you tell us it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, you tell us that we are to invite those to come to you. But Lord, because you have left us with a free will, we all have to choose it. And Lord, I pray that you would save that soul that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.